Good morning, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining our first quarter 2015 results presentation conference call. From GB Auto, we have Dr. Raouf Gabor, CEO, and Mr. Mustafa Elmadi, CFO, presenting first quarter 2015 results. I will hand over to Dr. Gabor for his presentation, and then we will have a Q&A session. Dr. Gabor, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, and thank you for joining our first quarter 2015 earnings call. Ladies and gentlemen, our first quarter was, to say the least, mixed. As a group, we saw our top and bottom lines rise, but revenue for our core passenger car line of business dropped. Egyptian operations performed solidly, for the most part, meeting or exceeding our expectations. On the other hand, our expansion territories were challenging due to factors outside of anyone's control. And let me not forget to mention that SG&A expenses have dropped as a percentage of revenue for the third quarter running. At the same time, though forex losses attributed mainly to January rose substantially compared to last year, a trend that eased in late February and March. Let me explain how we got there and offer you my thoughts about where we are going. Firstly, please allow me to reiterate that this is nowhere where we've not been before. We have a proven track record of success in the face of challenges, staying the course with our investments and positioning ourselves for the leadership position when the market recovers. This case will be no different, but first a review of the quarter. I'll begin with a review of our Egyptian operations. Our passenger car line of business remains core to GB Auto's performance, and our Egyptian passenger car operations are a primary driver of this success, accounting for a full 45% of our total group revenue in the first quarter of this year. And that comes in spite of a reported 56% decline in revenues from Geely operations in the quarter, on a significant 71.7% decline in sales of Geely completely knocked down or CKD units. Those of you who read our earnings newsletter know that this was a result of our decision to withhold deliveries to dealers as we sought to correct a market oversupply. That issue has been addressed, and we have started seeing relatively normalized sales after quarter closure. Hyundai continues to account for the lion's share of our sales here, and I'm pleased to note that sales of completely built-up units, or CBU vehicles, rose a substantial 60.7% in the quarter. CKD units also rose, albeit a more modest 72%. I see these increases, and especially the CBU increase, as a clear sign of strong consumer demand and also consumer confidence. Likewise, Mazda posted an almost threefold increase in unit sales and is showing strong signs of continued growth. We are very open to offering new Mazda models should customs regimes permit such a move. Unfortunately, even as revenues rose comfortably, margins were pressured by the depreciation of the Egyptian pound against both the U.S. dollar and the Korean won. At the same time, Japanese and European vehicles are benefiting from depreciation and improving their profits even as they leave their prices static. This has prevented us from passing the full effect of the foreign exchange differentials onto consumers, a practice which we had been successfully doing since official devaluation started. More potentially damaging in both the short and long terms, of course, is the unfair customs advantage enjoyed by European, Turkish, and Moroccan vehicles against assembled in Egypt cars. I remain hopeful that the current will address this issue. In fact, we've seen several trial balloons in the domestic press as to how this might unfold. At the same time, pressure on the government is rising. Mercedes-Benz has announced it will stop assembling in Egypt. Looking at motorcycles and three-wheelers, the primary news for this line of business is our planned expansion. Of course, it continues to deliver a strong performance in the first quarter of this year, which is traditionally a slow season for sales of these vehicles. I don't want to say this is expected after the attempt last year to ban import of kits, but this much is clear. There is a remarkable market for these vehicles, not just in Egypt, but abroad. That's where our expansion plans come in. Our current assembly facilities in Egypt are considered the first motorized Bajaj line outside of India. We are currently finalizing studies to install new painting and welding shops with considerable component and process localization. Proceeds from the capital increase will in part be used to finance this expansion. We have seen positive consumer acceptance of three-wheeler sales in trial sales in Iraq, and initial signs suggest that this business could be a replica of the Egyptian success story. The commercial vehicles and construction equipment line of business has again grown revenues and gross profits as the market conditions continue to be quite favorable. We are continuing to reduce overstock of high-cost materials and are confident that in the long term, our superstructure business, the only manufacturing business of its kind in the country, will remain a small, also almost niche market, but quite successful in spite of that. Exports of buses continue with very promising indicators and a focus on the Gulf and the sub-Saharan African region. Our tires line of business, meanwhile, had a difficult first quarter as sales revenues in Egypt fell by more than a third. This was unfortunate but expected. The drop comes as a result of our strategic decision to change customer payment options from credit-based to cash and carry as we seek to mitigate risk. The last of the outstanding credit debt has been collected, and I see tire demand coming back very strong in second quarter of during this quarter. The financing businesses, meanwhile, are reporting excellent growth and excellent asset quality. I'm particularly pleased with the long-term prospects and growth potential for this line of business, and I expect to be making an interesting announcement about it shortly. Finally, our new businesses are proceeding apace. I'm pleased to report that Fabrica, our pre-owned vehicles line of business, has already reported positive contributions to gross profit. The last thing I want to say about our Egypt operations is that I'm confident that the foreign exchange troubles are now largely behind us. Rather than the currency being at the whim of the black marketeers, the governor of the Central Bank of Egypt has taken control of the Egyptian pound. This is not to say that I think the currency devaluation will not continue. It will. But it will do so in an orderly manner, and one that is conducive to good business. The hardest news for me in the first quarter of this year was the continued deterioration and fragmentation of the Iraqi market. The political, economic, and security situation in this previously robust market are very poor, and consumer confidence is unsurprisingly quite dismal. That said, we are actively seeking solutions that will see us adjust to the new reality on the ground and continue to operate successfully. In Libya, we are in the process of liquidating, and I want to reaffirm that we have no personnel in Libya and that our in-country inventory is fully insured. The Algerian market was soft for us in the first quarter as currency issues impeded revenue growth. However, passenger car sales in the country are continuing at a reasonable pace, and our tire division there is reporting very strong sales. I can also tell you that in Algeria, as in Iraq and even Egypt, we are looking into possible expansions to best capitalize on the potential of this market. Finally, a second quarter development, but one for which the groundwork was laid in the first quarter of this year. I'm pleased to report that we closed our 960 million Egyptian pound capital increase on May 5th very successfully. Existing shareholders and purchasers of tradable subscription rights together representing 99.86% of GB Auto's shares exercised their right to participate in the capital increase, and our paid-in and issued capital is now set to rise to 1.094 billion Egyptian pounds. This success comes in spite of the weak performance of the Egyptian stock exchanges. confirming the commitment of our shareholders to our future plans, as well as the strong interest from new investors in the stock who took the opportunity of the tradable rights issue to build a position in the company. We are proud of that achievement. We intend to use proceeds from the transaction to finance growth activities, including a tire plant and a motorcycle and three-wheeler manufacturing facility. At the same time, we'll continue the development of investments already in progress. Indeed, I believe that the remainder of this year will be one of growth in our home market and the laying of the foundations for growth in a number of expansion markets. I want to thank you all once more for your ongoing support as we navigate these interesting times and look forward to reporting our progress on these exciting initiatives going forward. With that, I will hand the call over to Mustafa Al-Mahdi, our CFO, for a quick look at our financial performance in the fourth quarter. We'll then open the floor to your questions. Thank you. Mustafa, please.
Thank you, Dr. Rauf. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. During the first quarter of 2015, GBO2 revenues increased 20% over first quarter 14, while EBITDA increased 14.6% year-on-year. EBITDA margin was stable quarter-on-quarter at 8.6%. Although the first quarter is usually the weakest quarter of the year, first quarter 2015 offered an exceptionally good performance. Excluding what we can now refer to as one-off forex loss, which resulted from the devaluation of Egyptian pounds against U.S. dollar from 7.18 to 7.63, GBO2 reported a normalized net income around 110 million Egyptian pounds, excluding the one-off forex loss, an increase of approximately 67% over first quarter of 2014. EBITDA interest coverage improved to reach 2.95 times in first quarter 15, up from 2.55 times in first quarter 14. GBO2 robust business model yet again proved to be solid, as the weakness in Iraq passenger car sales was offset by the healthy performance of Egyptian Hyundai business. Market growth across most of our product segments has resulted in a reported increase in inventory to match our revenue growth potential in the quarters to come. Despite the said increase of 350 million Egyptian pound in inventory during this quarter, GBO2 reversed the course of its negative cash flow from operation by changing the terms of payment with our main suppliers, as promised in previous earnings release. This has resulted in a solid cash inflows from operating activities to be 400 million Egyptian pounds in the first quarter of 2015 versus a negative cash outflow from operating activities of 185.6 million in the first quarter of 2014. Total debt continued to climb, although it's decreased rate as our operations are run more efficiently, while net debt declined quarter on quarter, namely why total debt stood at approximately 5 billion Egyptian pounds at 31st of March 2015, compared to approximately 4.8 billion Egyptian pounds and 31st of December 2014. Net debt declined to 3.5 billion Egyptian pounds as of end of first quarter, compared to approximately 3.6 billion as of end of full year 2014. Our leverage position improves if we exclude the following from our operating debt calculation, so we can take a better look at the real business leverage. The total debt from the financing business, which is backed up by highly quality assets and which stood approximately about 945 million Egyptian pounds at the end of first quarter 2015, and the shareholder loan of 538.7 million Egyptian pounds, which was subsequently used to settle the subscription of the main shareholders to the company's capital increase shortly after the quarter closed. Excluding both of these figures would bring our total debt to approximately 3.5 billion Egyptian pounds, which means that the company has plenty of room to fund the expansion plan, especially after very successful completion of the capital increase through our rights issue process, which was 99.86% subscription. As we enter to the second quarter 2015 with a positive net cash flow, a strong balance sheet, and a solid growth in all our business lines, we look forward to our new investments, which should strengthen our position, numbers, and ratios further upon their successful completion. That concludes our presentation for today. Ladies and gentlemen, we would now be pleased to take any question you may have. Operator?
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, please press star 1 to ask a telephone question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. Our first question today comes from Samad Dissi of Beltone Financial. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thank you for holding the call. I had a question concerning the incentive package that the Ministry of Finance announced around 2 weeks ago. They did not give details for it. However, we've noticed over the past couple of days that more trends toward car manufacturing are coming on board. So do you believe that these incentives could include tax, for example, or investment incentives for car manufacturing? And if so, will you be looking at that front? This is the first question. And the second one, relating to the integration of sales of two- and three-wheelers in Iraq, do you expect going forward after the completion of the new facility, will it be used to for exports as well, or will it be only directed for the local market? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Regarding the incentives, the government is currently considering to give to the automotive manufacturing. Nothing has been announced officially yet. So we really do not know. But what I can assure you is that I've had meetings, lots of meetings with the Minister of Finance and with the Minister of Industry and Trade and with the Prime Minister. And across the board, they say that we will do anything it would take us to ensure and guarantee that automotive manufacturing not only survives, but transforms itself from an assembly manufacturing into a complete manufacturing of cars. They are determined to bring Egypt or to make Egypt the production hub for auto making for Middle East and Africa. What they are considering exactly, we have given them our ideas, but we do not know what they will come back with. But what I know is that they are currently drafting new regulations regarding customs and sales tax, but the details we don't know. But I have to say that I have very big confidence that very soon we will have a completely different geography of regulations attracting serious investments into this business and completely changing the geography of the market from 50-50, 50% CKD and 50% CBU market into a 75% CKD, 25% CBO market. And I hope it will bring some kind of balance in the treatment between the free trade agreements, Europe, Turkey, and Morocco, and other countries of origin like Japan, China, and U.S. As for the second question, absolutely, the new investment we are doing is not only to supply to the Egyptian market, it is bound to supply to all the free trade agreement markets. We are looking at the GAFTA markets, and one of them is Iraq. So it's not going to be only Iraq, but it's going to be pan-Arab. We will sell wherever the motorcycles or three-wheelers are needed across the Arab world. We'll be selling, as well as COMESA, which is the East African market. And as you know, on the 10th of July, Egypt will sign the tripartite agreement, which is linking the COMESA to South Africa as well. So it's going to be a pan-African, almost pan-African free trade agreement. So doors will be extremely widely open to receive our products from 2 and 3 weeks.
Thank you. Only one last question, please, on the FX shortage in Egypt. How do you think this could impact operations for the remainder of the year?
I have to say that during the last month and a half, we have seen a very gradual and, I would say, good level of improvement in the forex allocation provided to us from banks, which leads me to believe that there will not be any impact of the shortage of foreign currency, and I do not see shortage of foreign currency within or beyond the period of, let's say, July or August. So, of course, we have hedged our position by eroding our strategic inventory level. So, and immediately afterwards, it was compensated by allocations of foreign currency. So we have not missed business opportunity.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, please press star 1 if you would like to ask a telephone question. There are currently no further questions in the telephone queue at the moment. We now have a further question, my apologies, from Mohammed Vane of CI Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking the call. My question really is on the tire manufacturing facility. Can you kindly update us on the on this one, on the this venture?
We are currently in the negotiation with a global player for the know-how transfer and the distribution rights and the rights to use the brand name. I assume that hopefully we'll be able to get a preliminary approval within this quarter, which hopefully when it happens we'll be able to get into the negotiation regarding the terms of the contract and so forth, which I assume should be completed during the third quarter. So by that time, we'll be able to make announcements related, very clear announcements related to the project.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now move to our next question from Manoj Sa of Jahir Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. My question is with respect to the two-wheeler and three-wheeler new assembly plant. I just wanted to get an idea like how much improvement in margin it will lead to from the current operations.
From the current operation?
Yes.
No, I don't see improvement in margin. will be the benefit. The benefit will be more than doubling the volumes, which will, of course, improve the bottom line. And the other benefit will be saving lots of costs, which are not actually required. So we don't need to pay that much freight. So producing locally voluminous components will efficiently reduce the cost. We'll be able to as well increase our market share, because definitely we'll be able to get custom reductions, which will make us much more competitive than where we are today. And finally, it will give us a lot of protection, political protection, because as you know, we have had an experience last year whereby there was a ban of importation. The three-wheeler specifically is not that well perceived by not only the Egyptian government, but by all governments everywhere in the world. So having a manufacturing facility, employing lots of people, and generating foreign currency through exports will make it more difficult for the government to consider unfavorable future decisions.
Okay. And when do you see this facility coming up, starting commercial production?
I have a meeting actually in 2 weeks in India, which should complete our agreement. I do not think that the factory will take more than a year and a half to be completed. So I expect launching of the production by the end of next year, or latest by early 2017.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. For any further questions, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll take our next question from Marie Mohammed of Cairo Financial.
Hello, Dr. Rauf and everyone. Sir, please advise us concerning the surge in financing businesses' revenues and other revenues multiple folds increase as well.
Finance business revenues?
Yes.
And you said what? Other business what?
The other the segment of other revenues.
Yeah.
It increased from 1.4 in the first quarter of 2013 to 12.6 in the first quarter of 2015. So kindly advise.
Okay, you're talking about the total company.
Yes.
Yeah. The total company, the surge in business, let's say passenger cars, the year before we did about 40,000 cars. And in 2014, we did 62,000 cars. So you had more than 50% growth in business. You have the same growth in commercial vehicles. Other lines of business, of course, you had another 50% or more in finance business. Other lines of business did not grow as much. So that's one part. So the market is really coming back. You know, you understand that 2013 was a very difficult year. So the market is coming back. On the other hand, of course, devaluation played some part in raising the top line, because we had to adjust the prices versus devaluation. As for the finance business, you are actually a company. 2014 was the second year for Drive company, and it grew almost by over 100% during that year. GB Lease is continuing to outperform. I have to say that during 2014, GB Lease was ranked second largest market share among financial leasing companies in Egypt. And by the way, the last quarter of 2004, GB Lease was the number one market share in Egypt. So again, we have an excellent management team there. We are willing to increase the capitalization of this company to grow it further. It's a very good business, which we believe in, and especially when we look at the quality of the assets and the quality of the portfolio. So across the board, we would have had even a far better growth in finance business if the ban of imports for 2- and 3-wheeler was not applied from February, which affected our business from February until August last year. So 6 months of the year was bad performance for our microfinance company. So I expect that the growth you have seen last year in the finance business is going to be outperformed during 2015.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now move to our next question from Abdul Rahman Khalifa of Beltone Financial. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for holding the call. I had a question on the financing business. The margins fell on an annual basis by 6%, almost falling from 28% to 22%. So can you have an explanation for this? And we've seen a great growth in the construction, in the commercial vehicles and construction equipment segment. For how long do you expect the tenders and the government spending on this to last in the coming couple of months or so, or years?
Hi, Abdulrahman. This is Minna Talla Sadiq, the Chief Investment Officer. I'll answer your question about the financing business, and then Dr. Raouf will take care of the vehicle. Sure. So basically, the thing is, when you look at financing businesses, gross profit is not the best measure you have to look at, because you have to look at the NIM, the net interest margin. You have to look at the size of the portfolio, and basically your measure is your return on average assets. So if you aggregate, also what we do is that what we report is the aggregated performance of 4 completely different lines of business. So to answer your question about margins, the margins are not the best measure here, because it depends on a lot of factors, including, for instance, the inclusion of Haram Touristic, which is a small company compared to the others, which has completely different margins, etc. But in order to give you some sort of an indication about the performance of the financing businesses, I can tell you that the full return on assets, on average assets for the business, exceeded 23%, and that includes also the new business. The portfolio, I can tell you about the size of the portfolio. I can tell you that the non-performing loans were under 1%. So I think that answers most of the queries you have. If you need any more details, we're happy to share with you specific questions about each and every part of the business. Concerning commercial vehicles.
Yeah. Abdulrahman, concerning commercial vehicles, we are confident that this will continue. The first quarter of this year was almost $500 million sales, commercial vehicles, and their after sales, which, if annualized, will bring it to $2 billion, which is more than double last year. I think that with all the projects the government has announced, whether power projects, whether infrastructure, roads, bridges, which will continue for the next 3 years, whether the new industrial region around Suez Canal, with lots of investments being attracted there, and we are one of those guys. So this gives me confidence that this demand for commercial vehicles and construction equipment is going to continue. And I would put it even more bluntly. With a population of 90 million people and with the level of spending in infrastructure during the last 35 years, I do not see this country being sustainable unless lots of investment is happening in infrastructure. Otherwise, we will never be able to reach our offices. We'll be stuck in the roads. We'll not have power at home. And then there will be no country. So I am very confident. Egypt is too big to fail.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 if we have any further questions today. There are now no further questions in the queue, so I would like to hand the call back to our speakers today for any additional or closing remarks. Thank you.
Thank you. I thank you for joining our call today, and I hope we'll be able to make a very good conference call in August talking about the second quarter. Thank you very much.
That will now conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.